Today I'm going to be in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, I think. The other day I was thinking about a movie I watched. I watched a movie that I'm sure all of you have seen one form of it or another, about D-Day. And whether you see a documentary or whether you see a Hollywood version of it, it doesn't matter, because they all show one thing. Pearl Harbor was totally unprepared for the attack. And yet, they had all the information they needed to know the attack was coming. It was interesting that after the, like hours after the attack, a telegram arrived from Washington saying that they were going to be attacked. But it wasn't sent as a priority. I watched in the movie as they show the sailors standing there looking with their mouths open. And on the documentary video, actual footage, they standing there in unbelief watching these bombers bomb them and strafe them and torpedo them. And I then got to thinking, the church is pretty much the same. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean, to be strong in the grace? Well, I know what it means to be strong. Amen. You have a choice. You can be strong in the law, in which you judge everybody. It's amazing how often people in the law don't judge themselves, but they judge everybody else. And usually their judgment isn't according to the law, it's according to themselves. But you can be strong in the law, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Or you can be strong in the grace that is of God, the tree of life. To be strong in the grace is to be totally focused and immersed in Jesus and what He did on the cross and the promise that He gave that He will raise us up with Him. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. The key word in that verse is faithful. When Jesus said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He said, literally, go out and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go preach the mysteries of God. You understand that the letters from Romans through Hebrews and James and Peter and John, those are to the church. They're not to the unbelievers. that to the church. It's the church that needs to understand the mysteries of God and how they operate. And he tells Timothy to preach or teach these mysteries to the faithful men who likewise will go and teach others that are already believers. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I read in the Gospels where Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he went through Samaria. And those Samaritans would not accept him at that time because his face was set like flint. If you are a good soldier in Christ and you're going to endure hardness, your face is set like flint on the job that is set before you. There's no variation. There's no whining or crying or excuses. In a war and in an army, you have a line of authority. And it only takes one person in that line to change an order, to cause the death of everybody else. It only takes one person to not obey and cause irrevocable damage to many others. To endure hardness goes back to what God said to Joshua. To be strong and very courageous. There are times when your flesh wants to react a certain way. Believe it or not, my flesh sometimes wants to do things that aren't right. It's hard to believe, I know, but there are people, even in this ministry, that sometime I would just like to shoot them. That's my flesh. But if I'm going to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ, that means that I not only walk in that grace for myself, but it means I walk in it for others as well. And sometimes to do that, you have to endure hardness. You have to keep the eyes focused on the prize and what the mission is. And the mission is to give forth Jesus Christ to those around you. Even if you'd like to pinch them or thump them on the head. Because that's the flesh, that's the carnal part. But if we are going to be the soldiers of Christ and to serve Him as He wants us to serve Him, then we have to be about His business and His desires and not our own. No man that warreth, and we are in a war, men and women, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. You want to know a way to tell if you're entangled in the things of this life? Would you like a clue? Nobody said yes. I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, Karen said yes. When you're corrected in a thing, how do you respond? Do you respond by justifying yourself or defending yourself or by making excuses? If you do, then you're entangled in the things of this world and this life. Because if your heart was set to serve God and to do that which He wants you to do, then the things of this life would not matter. And if you did something wrong and you're corrected, you'd praise God for the correction and move on. And if you didn't do anything wrong and the person that was correcting you was mistaken, guess what? You'd praise God because you got to be accused of something you didn't do, just like Jesus. What good is it if you do wrong and you're corrected and you fight against it? What reward do you have? But if you're corrected for something you didn't do and you take it with meekness and grace, enduring the hardness as a good soldier, then your reward is great. You might understand what I'm saying. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you be of Christ, if you receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you have been drafted into the army of God. It is automatic. You cannot be a Christian and not be a part of God's army. There may be those out there that would argue with me. And there may be those that would say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And you know what? That's okay. I don't really care. Because I know what God has shown me and what the Lord Jesus Christ has taught me. And if you're going to be a Christian, you will and are drafted into the army of God. And you will have to learn how to walk in obedience in that army. And if you can't do it in this life, what in the world makes you think you'll be able to do it in the next? Here we have grace. Here God's grace abounds. But when you get to heaven, there is no grace. There is none. If you sin there, there's no sacrifice for sin there. The sacrifice for sin was given for here. And God's grace is upon us that we can learn through that grace, even though we make mistakes, even though we screw up, even though we do all kinds of stupid things. He gives us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to learn to walk in obedience to him. And it's not every man, which you find so many places teach, that they're under God. How many times I've had the Lord show me a thing and I'd go tell somebody, well, I'll have to go and ask God. I said, if you do that, it's going to be too late, my friend. You better go through Jesus Christ first. I've actually had the Lord say to me to go and say, thus saith the Lord to people. I remember a minister one time. And I remember his name. His name was George Downs. He used to be the pastor of the Chuliota Community Church. In 1975 or 76, one of those two, but maybe 74. Anyway, the Lord had me to go to him and say, thus saith the Lord, take your hands off my people, or I will require thy life. And the man laughed at me. Within 3 days, he died of a heart attack. See, if he understood the law of authority in the church, he wouldn't have died. He'd have been alive. God's grace covers so far. God's grace covers a repentant heart. God's grace covers a humble spirit. But a rebellious, disobedient, self-righteous heart and spirit, it cannot cover. To be strong in the grace of the Lord, one must daily humble himself or herself to the Lord. And how do we do that? Do we just go and say, Lord, I humble myself before you? Do we get on our knees, maybe take our shoes off? Sounds good when you say it fast. Amen? Do you know why God said not to murder? Because man was made in the image of God. And when you kill the image of God, you're attacking God. Bob read out of Psalm 51. David said, against you and you alone have I sinned. Well, you mean he didn't sin against Uriah, who he killed? You mean he didn't sin against Bathsheba, who he took unlawfully? You mean he didn't sin against his people by doing these things? No. He sinned against God because Uriah was made in the image of God. And those weren't David's people, they were God's people. So you want to know how to humble yourself before God. You have to learn by practicing with one another. You learn by practicing being humble with one another. Amen. That's all I've got to say.